we found that methionine, there's a large portion of dietary methionine going towards these methylation reactions. So it was a significant portion. I think approximately around 40% of methionine was going towards methylation, with the remaining 60% going for protein synthesis. And this was surprising because during lactation, we know the sows have a large requirement for protein synthesis for milk, as well as these young sows have their own maternal requirement for protein deposition for themselves.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at fortivaimpact.com. Kemin invites you to optimize swine health and nutrition. Dive in at kemin.com/swine. Essential Ag Solutions, bringing innovative science-based solutions to livestock producers. Barnes is your trusted partner for Colon Plus FC, enzymes, yeast products, and macro minerals. To learn more, visit barnes-na.com/animal nutrition. DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Revenue grew, so did your hours. The owner's box, buy back 20 a week.
Stop hiring for problems automation can solve. Start with Elevate Agents.
Don't hire another VA stuck in 2015. Hire a remote AI specialist from Latin who runs AI tools, works in your time zone, and helps your team move faster. Schedule your free strategy call at www.wisevas.io. Zentrix OS, the business operating system built for teams who are serious about goals, tasks, and measurable results. One platform to run your entire operation. Zentrix Insights. The right person in the right seat starts with knowing how your team is actually wired. Visit ZentrixInsights.com. Herd Software aligns your data. Gilt aligns your people. GetGilt.com.
Welcome to the Swine Nutrition Black Belt Podcast, the latest swine nutrition research digested for you. I'm your host, Clayton Chastain, and today we have with us Sierra Cazol, a PhD candidate from the University of Guelph. So, Sierra, before we get started, would you mind giving the audience a brief introduction about yourself?
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me on the podcast today, Clayton. I haven't strayed too far from home. I'm originally from Ontario, just east of Toronto. And then I went to the University of Guelph, completed my Bachelor of Science in Animal Bio in 2020. And then since then, I've remained at the University of Guelph. I joined Dr. Leanne Huber's lab. And over the last 5 years or so, I've been working on a PhD looking at refining the methionine requirement estimates for primiparous lactating sows.
Gotcha. Yeah, I know we talked about some of those research results in the past, in a prior episode, but I know you've still been working on, you've been doing some more research regarding the methionine requirements of lactating sows. So I guess from some of the prior research and some of your more recent research, what all has your research entailed, and what were some of the key takeaways from your results?
Yeah. So the first animal trial I completed, we did a titration experiment to try and better define the optimal methionine level across lactation in primiparous sows. And we did this because the empirical trials that were done and used to create the NRC feeding recommendations were done over 30 years ago. So we know that the production standards have changed drastically since then, with pig numbers increasing, thus pushing milk production for sows. So we did this titration experiment, and we kind of found that the level of dietary methionine required to maximize milk nitrogen output was greater in peak lactation. So we saw a bigger difference between the perceived or estimated requirement and then what we were measuring with nitrogen balance. So then with that, with the aim of my thesis, we also aimed to expand and look further at methionine use on protein synthesis, because these estimates done historically just considered methionine for protein synthesis, so for milk production and nitrogen retention in the sow. So we wanted to look at methionine use for as a methyl donor in the body. We know it's significant for many transmethylation reactions, particularly creatine and phosphatidylcholine. And then also methionine plays a role in cysteine synthesis. So we know that cysteine is considered conditionally indispensable because methionine or homocysteine can be used to synthesize cysteine. So we wanted to look to see if measuring these outcomes affects the estimates for methionine requirements. So then with the second experiment, we also wanted to look at the methionine sources, so being crystalline D-L-methionine or the hydroxy analog, the liquid form, since this is not well studied for sows. So we compare the two sources during peak lactation, and we found that both the D-L-methionine and the hydroxy analog both supported lactation performance, so measurement outcomes, litter growth rate, and nitrogen retention in the sow and nitrogen output in milk. So that was interesting to find. And then I ran another experiment to precisely identify methionine partitioning. So if you're feeding either D-L-methionine or the hydroxy analog above the estimated requirements, or if methionine is below estimated requirements, how exactly is methionine partitioned between protein synthesis as a methyl donor, and then as well for cysteine synthesis. And so we found that methionine, there's a large portion of dietary methionine going towards these methylation reactions. So it was a significant portion. I think approximately around 40% of methionine was going towards methylation, with the remaining 60% going for protein synthesis. And this was surprising because during lactation, we know the sows have a large requirement for protein synthesis for milk, as well as these young sows have their own maternal requirement for protein deposition for themselves. So this was, yeah, interesting. It showed us that, yeah, regardless of this protein requirement, that these methylation reactions demand a lot from methionine. And then also it was interesting, we found that that this amount of methionine going towards these methylation reactions was conserved when the methionine was below the estimated requirement. So showing kind of that maybe these sows are preferentially conserving these transmethylation reactions and sacrificing protein synthesis when methionine is insufficient in the diet. So this kind of shows us that maybe if we're designing our studies to estimate methionine requirements, that the level to maximize nitrogen retention or protein retention would also be sufficient to meet maximal methylation from methionine.
Gotcha. So you've kind of covered it a little bit too, but so why in lactating sows in particular is meeting the methionine requirement such an important issue for these lactating sows? What could you possibly see if sows were fed a deficient level of methionine?
Yeah, so we, so particularly with the research I was doing, it was with young, immature primiparous sows. So they have their own requirement of methionine for protein deposition to develop their own maternal stores. But then on top of this, they have the demands for milk. So we kind of hypothesized and found that at levels, methionine levels below optimal, they will sacrifice milk synthesis. So milk production will be compromised, and then piglet growth production.
And then what would you say are some of the main knowledge gaps when it comes to methionine utilization as it relates to lactating sows?
So definitely, I would say methionine as a ratio of dietary energy. So we found in the first study that with primiparous sows, early lactation, feed intake is very variable, which can, you know, make these trials kind of complicated and hard to you know, sort through the results when sow intake is so variable. So if we could better identify and evaluate the methionine to energy ratio in the diet, I think that would provide us some useful information for kind of better matching the sow's both methionine and energy requirement.
Gotcha. And you also mentioned about the methylation reaction and how the sow kind of prioritizes that a lot more than you expected. Would you say that was one of the more surprising findings of your trial, or what else would you say surprised you about these trials?
Yeah, definitely that was surprising, because I thought that protein synthesis would be a greater proportion for these sows, since, you know, milk production is so great and then they have their own requirements for protein deposition. So it was surprising, but it points us in a direction to maybe look into why is the methylation portion so demanding. And maybe it's because they're putting a lot of these products of transmethylation like creatine and phosphatidylcholine into milk. So that wasn't something I've evaluated yet, but something that I think we'll look into with the samples that we have in the for future. Because it would be interesting to see what the sow is contributing to the piglet versus what the piglet has to, you know, synthesize themselves, because they also have their own, you know, creatine demand and phosphatidylcholine and methionine demand.
Feed formulation software is stuck in the past. Most tools haven't evolved beyond basic least cost optimization. A Diet Forge changes that. It's an AI-powered platform with nonlinear ingredient modeling for enzymes and additives, cost per gain and maximum profit optimization, and real-time collaboration like Google Docs for nutrition. Every recommendation is grounded in world-class research, built for modern nutritionists who need more than legacy desktop software can deliver. Work seamlessly with your team and optimize the way modern operations demand. Try DietForge.ai free today. Feed formulation, finally modernized.
So one final question I had for you. I know, at least here in the U.S., we have several different genetics companies. They all offer their own sort of recommended requirements for methionine. But how would you say genetic plays a role in terms of methionine requirements for lactating sows or for any other pigs from different stages of production?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, I didn't look exactly into the genetic components for methionine requirements for my studies. But the first experiment I ran was with a separate genetic line than the second and third. And it seems that the methionine level required to maximize milk production was different between these herds. I can't say exactly because I didn't run another titration experiment with the new genetic line, but it's something that I think is important and is definitely valuable to, you know, use those genetic recommendations and for those genetic companies to, you know, put together some trials to evaluate optimal methionine levels. Because we definitely saw there could be some differences there in, you know, digestibility, maybe partitioning, but some future directions for people to take.
Awesome. Well, I believe that's all the time we have. So thank you again, Sierra, for coming on the show and sharing your knowledge with us.
Thanks, Clayton, for having me today and chatting about sows and methionine.
Yep, and to everyone else, thank you for listening to the Swine Nutrition Black Belt podcast. Please visit us at swinenutritionblackbelt.com. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast channel so you won't miss out on the next episode. See you next week.